Okay. You ready? All right, guys, we are back a few days early. We are not recording on the last day of the month this time for the March podcast. We're cutting it close, but we're here, and it is not the last day of the month. I'm not going to tell you what day it is, just in case, but it's not the last day of the month. Anyway, today, obviously, this is the Girl Have You Read podcast, and today we're going to be talking about series within our own personal reading habits and within our writing habits as authors, how they come about, what makes us decide that we're going to take them on. Our favorite series that we've written, maybe some of our favorite series that we've read, that which is really, I tell me something. Is it harder for you to pick a favorite thing that you've written or a favorite thing that you've read?
Favorite thing that I wrote because I love everything I wrote. So like when I got it's like picking a favorite child.
It's
When it's
like
somebody else's stuff, I can
I
brag on
feel
everybody
like
else's
that
stuff.
too. I agree with that. But at the same time, it's like picking a favorite of even something that I've read. It's kind of like, okay, how do I decide when all of these things were so good? How do I pick just one? Like, how?
Yeah.
So
Yeah, I
I think
usually
I
just don't
just
even pick
prefer,
one. I just usually
that's what I
say
was
all
just
the
going to
ones I
say.
like.
Like I usually just don't even answer. Like we can just move on to the next question. But anyway, as I said, today's topic is series. And where do you think we should start with that, Alex?
So what I was thinking about is like how sometimes, and from a writer's perspective, how sometimes I like actually decide I'm going to write a series and like plan it out in some form or fashion. But sometimes series just happen. Like a second book just happens, and then in that second book there's some characters that say, oh, we should write about them. And then the third book happens and so on and so forth. So what is it like for you when you're deciding, or do you decide something's going to be a series, or do you just let that manifest naturally?
Me deciding that something is going to be a series is a pretty surefire way for it to never get written. Just honestly speaking, I'm thinking about the brand new doc that I opened while I was supposed to be on vacation and started writing. And I had all these ideas in my head for, yeah, book one is going to be this, and book two is going to be that, and book three is going to be this. And it's just so much pressure. It's
It
just so much pressure. And I feel like I'm a very go with the flow kind of writer. I think about like the Serendipitous series, for example, one of my more popular, I guess, series. None of that was like planned out. Like I didn't say, oh, I'm going to write a six book series. I mean, six is an odd number for a series anyway. But I'm saying like I didn't go into it thinking I'm going to write a six book series. But the Wright Brothers series, as a different example, I kind of always knew, like I knew going into it, okay, it's three brothers, there's going to be a book for each brother. And that put so much pressure on me when it came to writing that second and third book. Like you see how long it took. It took me what, like a year and a half, almost 2 years for all three of those books to come out because I was putting it off because it was just so much pressure. Like I prefer to write a book and then if new characters come along and they have something to say, or if you know what I mean, like I prefer to kind of let it happen organically, or even if I kind of know in my mind that there's going to be other books for the series, or I know as I'm writing certain secondary characters that they're going to get a book too, but I might not necessarily announce that, or I might not do it officially because if I don't do it officially, that kind of takes away some of the pressure off of
Oh,
it.
absolutely, absolutely. 'Cause I remember like in my head, the whole Building 402 series was gonna come out like back to back to back to back. But I finished Adjacent, like, well before it was supposed to come out, and I started Replacement. And so the first two came out back to back, but writing that third one, like, I didn't know if I just didn't want to be in that world at the time, or was it just, like, the pressure of, like, writing my first Prince to Lovers, or, like, it was just something about writing Displacement that I just had to push it off for as long as I could, and it eventually came out, and it was fine, but you're right, once you announce it, it's like that pressure is there to deliver.
Yeah. Like, where's the rest of it? Where is it at? You know, as soon as you put out one of them, it's already building up. When is the next one coming? When is the next one coming? When are we gonna hear from blank? You know, when is the next installment? And it's just
truly, you know, because I even think about, like, with the Tale of Two Cities collection, which that was, like, completely organic, like you said, where it was just like, oh, like, there's no pressure with this. Like, it was a pressure for me just because I knew I wanted to deliver, but it wasn't like I was pressured by anybody asking for specific holidays or anything like that. Like, I wrote what I wanted to write, and it was fine, it was fun, and it was, like, an easy go with the flow. Those books are written so fast. But if I would have said, oh, look out for Christmas, then it probably it just probably wouldn't have happened.
But you kind of tagged on something that has been, I feel like it's something that's been personally missing for me, and I'm not quite sure how to get it back, and I'm not quite sure where I lost it either, but that the go with the flow thing that you mentioned, how, because there was no pressure with it, you were able to just kind of write, you could really do what you wanted to do, you know, and it just, however it came out, that's just how it came out. And I, you know, I love writing like that. Like, I'm not an author who, like, I see a lot of people talk about their first drafts and how the first draft is always trash and, you know, this and that. And I'm like, well, sis, I only write one draft.
Right. And like, I clean that baby up.
Right. I said what I said, and that's, you know, that's what it is. This is the story. I mean, of course, it's going to get edited and all of that, but there's only one draft here. And I personally love that, because I feel like that's where you get, like, that's where you get the story as it was meant to be. But now I feel like I overthink every little thing now. And instead of just letting it come as it comes, like, there's this part of me that, and I know that part of it is pursuit of just being better at my craft. Like, part of it is slowing down and thinking of what a better word choice might be, or, and it's always stuff like that. It's typically stuff like that, because I have been guilty of getting in the way of the story because of what I wanted it to do and this and that. But that's really part of, I think that's part, exactly like you were saying, that's part of the beauty of being able to write a series that just comes to you on the fly. You can just do exactly what you want to do without with I can't get my words out, but you feel me. Y'all feel me.
I do. So do you, how do I want to phrase this? So when you, the series that you said that you have wanted to do or whatever, do you ever think you would write, like, the same characters for a series, like, all the way through again, or anything like that, or does it have to be all new people?
I have this thing where I just have zero desire to write about the same characters in a second book. Like, once once I have them established as a couple, I'm done with them. Like, once I write the end, I'm pretty much done with them. Like, in subsequent books in the series, we might drop in with them. We might, we might see them, see a baby happen. We might see an engagement happen if it didn't happen in their book, things like that. But when I write the end with a couple, I'm done with them. And so the thought of that does not appeal to me. But I'm not sure why. like, I'm just not a journey writer, which is so strange because I'll absolutely read it.
And that's what I was going to say. It's this weird thing, but, like, I, like, after doing Attraction and Distraction, I would never, ever again. Like, ever again. Like, I just cannot even imagine, like, sticking with the same people for that long, for that many words. Like, I just can't. But reading it, like, I'm like, yes, like, let's hear from them some more. What's going on with them now? Like,
I'll read you know it all what? Day. I wonder if, okay, so I just read, I was privileged to get to read it early, but I just read He Who Is a Lover, which is the follow-up to He Who Is a Friend from Love Belvin. And the thing is, within Love Writes series, and her series are always, you know, it's always following the same couple. Yeah. And when I think about her series, the thing is, those couples are going through a lot. Like, they're going through a lot of ups and downs. There's a lot of ebb and flow with them. There's a lot of challenge before we ultimately get to the end where we see them settle, we see them at peace, where we really see them get that happily ever after. Right. And I don't know that I've ever had a couple come to me that's had enough material for more than one book.
Which is, yeah,
you know what I mean?
That, yeah. Because I feel that, though, because I remember writing Attraction Distractions, and, like, in my head, like, I don't know why I was that ambitious about making my first book be a
right out the bat.
What was wrong with me? Why you let me do that?
I don't know. Like, it sure was entertaining, though.
But I just remember, like, okay, what would even be, like, going on right now? Or what? And luckily, there was, like, some, you know, a lot of growing up to do because they were in college. And there was a lot of, like, different events that happened in, like, sophomore year versus senior year and stuff like that. But it was still just like, I'm just sick of y'all. Like, by the time I wrote senior year, I just really didn't even like, I mean, I cared what it was about and I cared that it was a great book, but I was just so ready to be done with them forever.
Yeah, that was like, that's my thing. Like, by the time I get to the end, sometimes I'm not even at the end yet. And I'm just like, because you're the author, you know what's going to happen. You know what's coming. You know it's the end. And for me, my brain is already mentally moving on to, okay, what's next? Like, my mind is already open for who the next couple is going to be, for what the next project is going to be. And so I don't know. I can't imagine. I've never gotten to the end of a book that I was writing and felt like, yeah, I need to keep going with them.
Yeah, because I feel like I would probably just either end up doing it all as one book or like...
Right.
Which then that means I'm writing something long, and long is not my thing. So that's not going to work. It's just not going to happen.
I remember the days of saying, long is not my thing, and then the book actually not being that long. Those days... Like, I can still write a novella. I have some novellas, but for the most part, when I think, yeah, I'm just gonna write this real quick. It's gonna be short. We're gonna knock this out. And then the characters are like, bitch, you thought.
Actually.
Right.
So has there ever been a situation where, like, the readers influence you writing a series or writing a second book of about, you know, some same world or whatever?
What I'm about to say probably sounds bad, but there's been an instance where they turned me off from writing. But no, I really try not to be influenced by that because the thing is with readers, for one, readers are really fickle, self included. readers are really fickle. Like, I've read series where I read the first book and I really think that I want to hear from another character, and then I hear from that other character and I don't even like it that much. Like, I don't even have the energy that I thought I was going to have or whatever. Like, I really try to, well, not even try, you know, it's just the way that my brain works. It's just the way that my muse works. I'm going to write whoever's next in my head. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm trying to figure out how to phrase this is, but I have to let my muse rule me. Like, I can't let the whims of the audience rule me. As much mm-hmm. as I appreciate the audience, as much as I value the audience, I can't let that be the deciding factor in what I do or in what I write, because mm-hmm. I feel like once you go there, you're never going to come back from it. And mm-hmm. I can't write if I'm not enjoying what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I feel like if I hand over the reins to anybody else, I'm not going to like it anymore. I'm not going to enjoy it anymore. I'm not going to want to do it anymore. And so it has to be about what my muse wants and about what I want, and not mm-hmm. about what anyone necessarily wants to see from me. Now, I will say that it gets me excited when people want a book that I know is coming. I know that I'm going to write mm-hmm. a story about them, and they're like, mm-hmm. oh my God, you know, when yeah. is this coming? And I'm like, oh girl, just wait.
Right.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, I absolutely love that. It absolutely energizes me, but I can't say that I've been influenced to write. What about you?
I was one single time, and it was fine. But in spite of it all, that was not something I planned on writing. Like, when I finished Love at First Bite.
Mm-hmm. That is surprising to me.
Mm-hmm. So when I finished Love at, like, I don't know what I was about to write, but I didn't plan, like, Maxwell's little brother, he was just, it just wasn't even a thing. And then people said, oh, like, Kelvin, like, he sounds so fun, let's write about him. And I'm like, what was his story even be about? Because he was, like, goofy in Love at First Bite. Like, he was just so much. But he, you know, he was able to mature and grow up in his
life. He's actually, like, my favorite brother. Well, I say my favorite brother. There's only two of them. My quote-unquote preferred brother of the two, actually.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. But, yeah, that was the one and only time. So it was a positive experience.
Yeah, I was going to say, that turned out good.
I do have a question. Do you have any series planned in your head for this year?
I do have the one that I really hope comes about. I don't know, actually two.
Mm-hmm.
The rom-com, which I've already, like, people have already seen, you know, the cover for that, and I've already mm-hmm. seen me talking about that. So there's that, but then I also have the, I guess I would call it romantic suspense novellas, I guess. Mm-hmm. They would be considered thriller novellas. They would be considered, I'm hoping to be able to come back to that. I'm really hoping to be able to do that, and I would really like it to be a thing that I can just put it down and just have fun with it. You know, that's really the vibe that I want for those. Like, mm-hmm. I want them to be sexy and fun, but also, you know, have that gritty suspense element. So I'm really hoping that I can come back around to that. But with that said, I don't have anything that I plan to write this year that does not add on to an existing series.
Yeah, because the rom-coms, they started off. Maybe we got introduced to those. That's right. I can say that, can I?
No. No, that's fine. That's actually not what I meant, though. I was actually considering the rom-coms. Like, that's a series in itself, even though it was a spinoff from the Wright brothers. That's a series mm-hmm. in itself. And then the romantic suspense thing, even though that's kind of a spinoff of series that shall not be named. that's kind of a series within itself. What I'm saying is, like, I think since the rom-com is essentially shelved for now, just for reasons, the next thing that hopefully the next thing that I publish is going to add on to my Equilibrium series. Mm-hmm. And then I have another Sugar Valley book that I want to write this year. And then I have another Connecticut Kings book that I want to write this year. Mm-hmm. And then I have another, Lord, I can't even think of the name.
You're going to be writing.
Five Star Enterprises is what I'm, that's what I'm trying to, that's what
so,
I'm trying
so to. So we get to revisit like all the worlds. Is that what you, that's what you're saying?
That's really all what I would like to do. Mm-hmm. But I've been trash. I don't know. I don't know. I really feel like it's going to be a miracle for me to finish anything at this point. Just with the way that things have been going for me, like I need a win. And I say that like I didn't release Wonder this year, and like Coveted didn't come out this year. Girl, so I've finished two things this year.
You know what I would say, as you say to me, be gentle with yourself, Christina. Be gentle with yourself.
I know. It's just we were talking about this before we started recording. I just remember those days of finishing a book in a month, finishing a really good book in a month. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even talking about, you know, like a novella, 25,000-30,000 words. I mean, finishing 55,000 words, like trade paperback length.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like a for real book in a month. And I don't know what happened. I don't know why I can't. Or I won't say I can't. I don't know why I won't go back to doing what I know I should be doing. But we're going to work it out.
We are going to get there. It's going to happen. We're going to finish the year off. Marking this word right now. We are going to finish the year. Is this still first quarter? No, it's second quarter. We are going to finish the rest of the quarters off strong.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think we're technically in second quarter. But I will say that per the goal that I put down in my planner, I am on track. I had on there that I wanted to do 8 books this year, which is about 2 per quarter. And mm-hmm. I got my first 2. I just need to, I need to make these other 2 happen for this quarter. But we'll see.
They're going to happen.
All right.
We're going to find a groove. We are going to make it happen.
Oh, no, I'm trying not to laugh because I'm looking at our doc and for what we're going to talk about. And the next thing coming up is why not every book needs to be part of a series. And I'm just thinking to myself, I don't know anything about that. Everything that I set out to write, there's always an interesting side character, an interesting best friend, mm-hmm. or an interesting coworker. I always end up coming back to these things to write something new. And I promise you, if I have any book that's a standalone right now, it's probably not going to stay that way. I don't, for whatever reason, I don't have the capacity, even though I will not, you cannot, like I was saying in the beginning that I really try my best not to plan series. I try not to plan them, but I cannot keep myself from writing them.
Yeah. See, what happened was, so for a while I was on this thing where like, I just want to write a bunch of standalones, like, and it was mm-hmm. fine. Like If Only for the Summer and In His Corner and Heat Harmonies to an Extent and Wins and Losses, like those are all standalone. And then I ended up in Building 402, which obviously a series. Even Tell It to City, like they were kind of connected, but not really. So even mm-hmm. that was like a little different. But I ended up in this thing now where I want to write a series. So the series is going to come. When? I don't know. But it's going to come this year.
It's going to come.
Sometime this year.
Okay, so with all the trouble that we have writing series, why is it that as readers, like, we love them? Like, what is the appeal as a reader, even though as a writer, well, it's the work. As a reader, I'm not doing the work.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's exactly what it is. Because as a writer, it's like, oh, yeah, they are interesting, but I don't really want to talk to them. But as a reader, it's like, oh, this character that you probably didn't mean to give a name, I need him to have a book now. And then I need her cousin to have a book now.
Right.
I need their daddy or mama. I want to hear their backstory before they was even born. I want them to have a book now. Like, we start creating all these things in our head as a reader that we know as a writer, we'd be like, actually, no.
Yeah, all the prequels, all the sequels, all the epilogues, all the prologues. Give me everything you got, all the spinoffs, all the extras. I want it all. Because you put me here with these characters, you've made me fall in love with everybody, and so now, yeah, I want to see them all the way through to the
end.
Keep
it going.
I want to see them have grandbabies. Yeah, bring it. Let's go.
What is that series that has like a whole bunch of parts? Like it's like a pop. I mean, it's I think it's like romance. Is it like Brenda Jackson or one of them?
Brenda Jackson, the Medeiros family, probably. I know Brenda Jackson has the Medeiros family. And Niobe Bryant has the Strong family. I haven't really read the Medeiros books, but the Niobe Bryant, the Strong family, those were good. And I know those span a while.
Yeah, I did. I remember those. I love them. Who has the... Who am I thinking of? You're talking about
Brenda Jackson.
Am I?
I think so, because that's the one that like really comes to mind. Like it's super popular.
It was like something like Western or something.
That's still Brenda Jackson, but I know what you're talking about. I can't think of their names though. But
like the Westermore or something.
Westmorelands. The Westmorelands. Yeah.
Parts. Like
are you on Amazon? Cool. The Westmoreland series 11 through 15 an anthology, 21 through 25 an anthology, 26 through 30 an anthology. Wow. I don't think I realized that there were this many of those books. Wow.
Can you imagine being able to stay in a world for that many books?
And I'm over here talking about the Medeiros. Nah.
It's levels to this. Okay.
Goodness.
That's I'm glad we figured
I didn't even know this existed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I knew it existed, but I think what I was thinking about was Westmoreland. She's doing like some more recent ones, Westmoreland Legacy.
Yeah, yeah. But even that, like, that's still like a part of it. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
To be able to play off of this for that long, like for that many books.
I cannot imagine. Now I'm curious. I'm going to have to read one, and now I'm going to have to write some. The Sugar Valley series is going to have some ranchers or something.
Do it.
But yeah, I would be so tired of these people and their family. Tired of the whole family. Like,
the
all
whole
of y'all.
Family.
Go somewhere. Leave me alone.
But I wonder. It's like introducing people. Like, you just keep introducing people. Like, oh yeah, that's so-and-so's cousin. Oh yeah, that's so-and-so's parents. Okay, that's so-and-so, that parent.
How do you
mom.
Even keep like, up? Like, can you imagine what her
like,
doc
what
has to look like?
Tree look like?
Yeah. I can't even remember. I can't even remember if I gave somebody a first name. Or not a first name, a last name in a lot of these books. Like, I have to go back, like.
It's been a couple of times that I definitely made up a last name like as I'm writing the blurb.
Because
they just didn't like I didn't have a reason to say their last name ever throughout the book, so then I get to the end of the book and I'm like, dang, they really didn't have a last name.
We're gonna work it out though. We're gonna what are we gonna work out? I don't even know why I said that. Wow.
You must have meant it. It must have been something in your spirit.
Maybe so. I don't even know. We don't even. I'm not gonna bust you out on the podcast.
Oh my god! But I already know.
All right, girl. Have you met in like very few days?
Very few days.
We're like a little more than a week.
Don't tell them, because then they're going to know when we record it.
That's why I said a little more than a week. That's why I didn't say exactly how many, because I actually pulled up my calendar like, all right, yeah, a little more than a week. Less than 2 weeks. yes. to go before Girl Have You Met, and I'm really excited. Like,
it, I'm so excited. I'm so excited to be in Memphis. I'm so excited to see everybody, you know, to have people that have, you know, come to all three Girl Have You Mets and still, you know, want to be a part of this. Like, that's...
It's really like a family reunion type of feeling, type of vibe. It is. Which is so cool.
Yeah. And then to have people say, like, oh, yeah, this is going to be my first event, or people that are saying, like, how far they're traveling and all that. I'm just like, oh my God, this is crazy. But it's going to be so great.
Exactly. And one of the things that I'm excited about doing is for the first time, we're going to be announcing the nominees for our little, I like how I led with it being little.
Don't, we not little out here no more. We're right. Big now.
But for our Dear Black Romance author honors, essentially, I don't know that I really want to call it an award, but I definitely like thinking of it as honors. But if you haven't yet, you can find the link anywhere on any of our social medias to go and place some nominations for some Black romance authors who you feel like deserve to be recognized as like your favorite romance author overall, your favorite Black romance author overall, your favorite new Black romance author who has just recently started, and for your favorite Black romance novel. And please, guys, if you're going to go nominate, please remember that Girl Have You Read, like our whole aesthetic, our whole purpose and all of that is Black love. I've been seeing some of these nominations, and as always, nothing against anybody else, but Black romance is what we're here for. And when we say Black romance, we mean between two Black people, or maybe more, but definitely at least two. All right, guys, that is it for the March episode of the podcast. We had a good time talking to you guys about Siri. So I hope that you guys hope that you guys enjoy it. And if you have, let us know your feedback. Let us know your commentary. How do you feel about series? Like, are you, if you're a writer, do you enjoy writing series? If you're a reader, is that your favorite thing, or do you prefer standalones? Let us know what your feedback is or what your thoughts are about series all over our social media. And yes, we'll be out here.
Until next time.
Alrighty, guys.